Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live on Ban for Racing with Catch Fence NASCAR weekend preview. And once again, I think we have a really interesting night set up for everyone to listen to our show. And joining me for our NASCAR weekend preview tonight is the managing editor of the fourthturn.com, Hunter Thomas. Welcome to the show, Hunter.
Hey, Sharon, thanks for having me on tonight. It's going to be a great show.
I believe so, Hunter. I'm really looking forward to it. Kyle Pokrzywski, who is usually with me on Thursday nights, was not able to be here, and we really appreciate you taking the time to stand in for him. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Kyle's a great writer, a great journalist. Still new to the game, but I'll tell you, he puts out those stories like he's a veteran.
He sure does. We've got a lot of stories to talk about in our preview tonight. At 9 o'clock, we will have our guest coming on the show, and I'm really excited that he was available to be on the show tonight. He just announced that Rico Abreu is racing with NTS Motorsports in the Camping World Truck Series in his debut this weekend at Phoenix International Raceway. And there's a good chance we'll see him back behind the wheel at Homestead as well. I understand NASCAR has to give an approval for that, but right now things are looking pretty good.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Rico Abreu is just a overall talented driver. I mean, he can drive anything from sprint cars to, you know, the dirt tracks all the way up to the K&N series. And the thing is, he wins in them all, too. That's just that's really difficult to go from a World of Outlaws sprint car and then win in a K&N car. I'm actually starting this weekend up at the dirt track at Charlotte during the Bad Boy Buggies World of Outlaws World Finals, and he was moving up through the field, so he's fast no matter what.
He certainly is. He had his debut in the K&N East Series this season with H. Scott Motorsports. He won his first race at Columbus Speedway, and he's fifth, I think, in the series standings, and I believe it was third in the Rookie of the Year standings. It might even be second. Let me take a look here again. But Rico Abreu has just had an amazing season with H. Scott Motorsports in that K&N East series, and he's really done well for himself. Let me just look it up here. That's Hemric.
He's third, I believe. William Bauer and Dalton Sargent, and then Rico.
And then Rico in the Rookie of the Year standings. So I think that's pretty fantastic for a rookie season in that series. And now he's out there in Phoenix International Raceway. They've got the truck all ready for him to race in the Camping World Truck Series. I believe he qualified 19th, or not qualified, but in the practice today, he ran 19th. And for not having run in the Truck Series before, I thought that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I guess there's not really that incredibly big a difference between the K&N and the Camping World Truck Series. There are their differences, but, I mean, both of them are pretty similar. And the good thing for Rico this weekend is he is at the, Phoenix International Raceway, which isn't a big track, but it isn't quite a short track. It's kind of in the middle. So he's not going that much faster than maybe he would at one of the bigger tracks on the K&N Pro Series East schedule. So I think he'll adapt really well, and I think he'll get a top 20 finish this weekend easily.
Yeah, I would agree with you there, Thomas. I'm sorry, Hunter. Now, let me just say, too, that as we're talking, the K&N West is in their season finale out at Phoenix International Raceway, and they are really running a battle out there. I've been following along on Race Central as well as on Twitter, and Haley has been leading. He took the pole earlier today, and he's been leading the field. Right now, I just see that he has a 2.5-second lead just 13 laps after the restart, after their halfway break. So J.J. Haley with H. Scott Motorsports ran the K&N East season for the entire season, was one of the drivers that did very well there with H. Scott Motorsports. And there's a group from that team that is out there racing at Phoenix this week, including his teammates Dalton Sargent and the other name is escaping me right now.
Scott Heckert.
No, not Scott Heckert. It is not Scott
William
Heckert.
Byron. Is it
William
Byron?
Is the other one.
Okay.
That's right. Their champion, William Byron, was the champion out there in the K&N East, and he is also racing out there in Phoenix tonight. Now, they are going to determine their champion tonight because this is the season finale. That's been a very hotly contested championship battle. And I'll tell you what, there's only 12 points between the top four drivers. David Mayhew, a veteran in that series, is fifth, and he's 35 points out. So it could be any one of those four, and possibly even David Mayhew. Well, not now, because David had a brake problem, I think, earlier, and I think he may be out of the race now.
Yeah, I'll tell you, this NASCAR K&N Pro Series is just so competitive. It doesn't matter if you're on the east or the west. I mean, if you look at the west standings right now, you know, Chris Eccleston, he finished in the top 10 times out of the 12 starts he's had so far. And, you know, second place is only 4 points back. And then whenever you rewind and go back to the East Series, William Byron, the champion, I mean, he finished in the top 10 11 times out of the 14 races this season. Same thing for Scott Heckert and Austin Hill. Those three drivers just put on a whale of a show. And I'm telling you, this is where NASCAR stars are definitely coming through the ranks. It used to be, you know, there were a wide variety of late model divisions out there where these drivers would come from, but now it seems like those have kind of gone away or they're coming back, whatever. You have the Cars Tour, you have the Pro All-Star Series, you have, you know, just an array of super late models. You have a few of those, but it seems like now that drivers, instead of getting a late model, they're kind of saving up their funds and they're going to the K&N series. And that, you know, that gives you more exposure because you're with, you know, that NASCAR brand. And you have all the Emerald Truck Series owners, Xfinity owners, and Sprint Cup owners watching you as well.
Okay, now I just got to have an update here. Lap 67, the yellow flag just came out. Ben Kennedy had an almost identical accident to his teammate, Kaz Grala, who blew a tire and hit the turn three wall. So we'll wait and see if that's it for Ben Kennedy. But I just want to remind fans, too, that this race, if you're not following along or you can't follow along tonight during the race, or if you want to see the race, the K&N West race at Phoenix will be televised on NBCSN next Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you want to set your DVRs now to record that race so you can watch it at your convenience, I would highly recommend it because this seems like it's been a really good race so far. You've got a lot of interesting drivers in this race, and you bring a great point, Hunter, because this really is a feeder series into NASCAR's top three series. And a lot of times they're going into ARCA to get the experience on some of the bigger tracks, but they're going into the K&N Pro Series to get the exposure, you know, with some very well-known teams. H. Scott Motorsports with Justin Marks has just been phenomenal in the East. And then you've got Bill McAnally Racing that's done really, really well out in the West. Now, the four drivers that could win this championship tonight, they're 12 points apart. Chris Eggleston is leading before the race. Noah Gregson in second, Grayson Raz in fourth, and Ryan Partridge, he's kind of a hometown favorite out there, is in fourth place. And, you know, it's going to come down to the wire here as far as who's going to end up with that title tonight, I think.
Yeah, and when you have the points that close, it's almost like the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series is chased for the NASCAR Sprint Cup. Because, I mean, it's whoever finishes in front of each other is pretty much going to be probably the champion. Now, that the guys back in third and fourth, they may need to do a little more than finish in front. But especially those front two guys, I mean, that's 4 points. I mean, that's nothing.
Exactly, exactly. So every position makes a huge difference for these drivers during this race. Now, some other notables that are in the race tonight. Brandon McReynolds has run the full season out there with Bill McAnally Racing. He's the son of Fox Sports analyst Larry McReynolds. And he actually became the very first K&N West driver to ever carry both races at Iowa Speedway earlier this year. He won both of those combination events. Also, Harrison Burton, the son of former Sprint Cup Series driver and now NBC analyst Jeff Burton, is racing tonight, and it sounds like he's holding his own. Last time I saw, he was running around eighth place. And then we also have Todd Gilliland, who is the son of David Gilliland from the Sprint Cup Series. He's been running a really good race. It sounded almost like he had a rocket there for a while, charging his way up to the front of the field. Also, Landon Castle, a lot of people know Landon Castle from NASCAR. He's racing for the first time in the K&N West tonight out there in Phoenix International Raceway, and for a while he was second. I'm not sure if he still is or not.
Yeah, I tell you, all the drivers you just named, I've been watching them race for years. I remember seeing Brandon McReynolds win a UARA race at Rockingham Speedway, and then Harrison Burton, I think I witnessed his first late model win. He won it in the Pro All-Star Series at Dillon Motor Speedway. And then Todd Gilliland, I mean, he has so much talent. It's so funny seeing some of these guys, not the ones I just named, but some of these guys are just little kids that are walking around the garage. And I wish my dad and my mother would let me race it at the ages that they're getting behind the wheel with. I think Harrison, I think he was 12. I want to say he was 12 years old when he won at Dillon Motor Speedway.
I think it was last year.
11. It was either 11 or 12. But man, that's just impressive. Those are definitely three major stars that I think you'll be hearing a lot of come the next decade.
I think so too. I think, and he just announced he's going to be running full time in the K&N East with H. Scott Motorsports next season. So I'm very excited to hear that. I think he's going to be a strong contender in that series, especially with a premier organization as H. Scott Motorsports has been developing itself to be in that series.
Yeah, I'll tell you,
okay.
It's just this. Oh, sorry. Go
no,
ahead.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to reiterate this is just how competitive the K&N series is, and that anytime you have a track near your house, you need to go check those guys out and gals out.
And that is so true. We encourage that all of the time. In fact, you know, if I was out there in Phoenix, that's exactly where I would be, is out at the racetrack. Now, you mentioned Dillon Speedway. You have some connections with Dillon Speedway as well, right?
Dillon Motor Speedway is located in Dillon, South Carolina. It's just on the other side of the border. That's where I got my start. I started working there in 2010, became the PR director, and I've been there ever since. And it's just amazing that a lot of these names that we're naming tonight in the K&N series, I've been watching them way before they got there. And, you know, I've seen guys like Justin Allison, Another one is Robbie Allison. That's Davies, related to Davies. So all these young kids, I've been watching them for a while, and now they're finally getting a name behind themselves and starting to prove that they have it in their blood.
They sure are, and I tell you, some of the best racing you'll see is in these lower tier series, because they are racing door to door, really grinding for every position on the track, on these short tracks, and it really is exciting racing. And again, I would encourage you to set your DVR for that race next Thursday night. This race that's going on right now will be televised on NBCSN. Now, the latest update I have here is Haley is leading Gilliland by a second. Gregson moves back up into 10th, and the current points advantage is Eggleston by 5 points over Gregson. So right now, Eggleston has the points lead toward that championship crown. The running order is Haley, Gilliland, Byron, Sargent, and Castle. Those are your top five, and Ronnie Bassett is up to sixth place. So I am following along at Home Tracks, Race Central, if anybody else would like to follow along there. And MRN is also covering the race on their radio station as well. So if you want to check that out there. But we hope you'll stay with us as we continue to preview the race here and kind of keep you up to date. Now then, we've been talking about how much fun it is to watch these lower tier series, and I want to digress for just a minute and kind of do a preview of our show for next Monday night, because we have a couple of drivers that are also going to be racing at Homestead in the Camping World Truck Series, and they're coming from the ARCA Racing Series. They're going to be on our show Monday night. They're from Lyra Motorsports. David Levine, who ran the entire series, he's from the Chicagoland area, David Levine, in the Highland Park area. And then right after David, we're going to have Kyle Weatherman, who is joining Lyra Motorsports for his Camping World Truck Series race at Homestead as well. So it's kind of interesting that both of these drivers are making their debut at Homestead in the Camping World Truck Series, and we were fortunate enough to get both of them on the show for this coming Monday night. David will be on at 9 p.m., and Kyle Weatherman will be on at 9:15. Now, Sal Sagala is at the track, and he's going to try to get the race winner of this race also on the show at that 9:30 segment. So you'll definitely want to tune into our show this coming Monday night. All right. Now, with that, let's talk a little bit more here about some of the guys. You mentioned you've seen Brandon McReynolds. We've had him on the show. He was talking, we've kind of kidded around with him a little bit about being in the driver's lot with all of the other driver's kids. Jeb Burton is one of them. And how they would race on their bikes in the parking lots there.
Yeah. I mean, it's just unreal that, you know, these young guys are driving, you know, the Canaan Series. I didn't quite get up the 200, but they will be soon whenever they reach the Truck Series or the Xfinity Series and all that. But, yeah, I mean, last time I saw Brandon McReynolds was Rockingham Speedway. I can't remember the last UARA race there. I don't know if it was 2013 or 2012. But that was the last time I've seen him. So it's been a while.
Okay. Now, another note here that just came up at Race Central is that the top six drivers right now have never won a Can-Am Pro Series West race. So there's a good chance that we may see a first-time winner out at Phoenix tonight. A lot of people cheering on their drivers here. Eggleston is currently ninth. He's a second ahead of the nearest point rival, Noah Gregson. So there's still a battle going on there. Burton now assailing Castles. rearview mirror. So Castle has got Harrison Burton on his tail and looking to take his position right now. I think there's really some fun racing going on out there. Okay, let's see if I can get a running order here. Haley, Gilliland, Byron, Sargent, and Castle. And Bassett. None of those drivers have ever won I don't know if that's true. Sargent actually won the season opener. Dalton Sargent won the season opener at Kern County Raceway earlier this season. So I'm pretty sure he has won in the Can-Am West. Okay.
Tell you one thing I've always wanted to do is sit on Rattlesnake Hill at Phoenix International Raceway and watch a race from there.
That does look like fun, doesn't it? And I hear that they clear all the rattlesnakes out of there before the race weekend, just so fans can rest comfortably out there. Okay. All right, not a lot of new updates right now, but we will keep you posted. It sounds like to me like Haley pretty much has this race in command, and it's pretty much his race to lose at this point in that race. He took the pole earlier today. He's been leading the entire race, unless some of these drivers get pretty aggressive at the end here. I think he looks to be the favorite right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'd look for Todd Gilliland to really challenge as well. It just all depends on what's happened at this point. I haven't been keeping up with it, so I don't completely know. But, you know, it depends on tire wear, if they've been on tires a while. And then, you know, like we've been talking about, we have some young kids out there. So, I mean, all it takes is one caution to stack them back up, and then here we go again. So, yeah, I mean, Haley and Gilliland, they're going to be really tough to beat here tonight unless something just crazy comes on tonight.
Yes, I would agree with you. Todd Gilliland had a rocket, it seemed like, there for a while. He kind of charged from behind up to the front rather quickly, so he was very impressive in that. Says Raz will not be a factor in the championship race right now, but he's sliding back three spots down this back stretch. They're in lap 90 of 100, so they're coming into the closing laps right now. Haley is lapping the field right now, so we'll have to wait and see. In just a few minutes, we'll find out who the race winner is going to be and who our champion is in that Can-Am West Series. Now, I will tell you, Chris Knight, our co-host for tonight, is at the track, and he's giving a lot of great updates also on Twitter. If he gets a chance, and I can't promise it, but I know if he gets a chance, he'll call in with all the latest and greatest from the track, and he's been following this race very closely, so I'm sure he'll give us some great insights if he's able to come on the show here tonight. So we're hoping that that happens. All right. I'm anxious to find out how this race ends. Okay, and apparently Grayson Raz has engine issues. So that's the situation for him. The three remaining championship contenders, Eggleston, Grayson, and Partridge, are running nose to tail on the track right now. And I'm talking lap 94, so we're down to the last six laps here. Haley just slammed the wall as he had a tire let go. So there goes pardon me?
Like I said, they have tire issues. Yeah, Phoenix is it's in the middle of a desert, and it just, I'll tell you, those tracks just kind of wear and tear on you, the real short tracks. You're just going around and around and around, and it's just has a lot of wear and tear, and especially if you have someone like Todd Gilliland behind you or if you're going for a championship.
Somebody's
that kind of puts the pressure on.
Yeah, somebody who's really challenging that leader. Now, I want to just let people know we're coming up on 5 minutes before our guest as well. They're headed to a green-white checkered restart here. Gilliland is now the leader over Byron and Sargent. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting restart, that's for sure. But at 9 o'clock, when our guest comes on, we're going to kind of switch gears over to Rico Abreu. I'm sure he's watching this race as well. And, you know, we'll try to continue to keep you updated. I'm really excited that Rico is coming on. And I was very excited to hear his news this week of racing with NTS for the last two races of the season in the Camping World Truck Series.
Yeah, I tell you, just talking about the race now, I think my pick might be Byron. It's going to be really, really hard to outdo William Byron. He's been on fire this year. William Byron is obviously the K&N East Series champion. I mean, he had 4 wins, 5 top fives and 11 top tens and only 14 starts. And he was a rookie. It was his first season. So I look for William Byron to he'd be my pick anyways. But
yeah,
those other,
I think it's a good pick.
Drivers are – those other two drivers are just as talented as well.
Absolutely. Todd Gilliland won in the ARCA Racing Series earlier this year. Byron, as you mentioned, is his champion. And Dalton Sargent won the K&N West season opener at Kern County Raceway. Now, I will tell you, Byron and Sargent are also NASCAR Next Drivers, which is the program that NASCAR has put together to kind of spotlight the future stars of NASCAR and for fans to kind of follow their careers from an early point before they get into the NASCAR's top three. So here's the running order real quick. We have Todd Gilliland, William Byron, Dalton Sargent, Ronnie Bassett, and Brandon Reynolds are your top five. The next five are Landon Castle, Harrison Burton, Chris Eggleston, Noah Gregson, and Ryan Partridge. Those last three are the title contenders. They complete the top five. And going on with the next five to cover the top 15, we have Travis Miller, James Bickford, DJ Kennington, Todd Souza, and Alex Shute. So this is going to be an exciting finish to this race, without a doubt.
Okay. Go ahead. I was just going to say, I only get to see the K&N East in person just a few times out of the year, and I was just going to say probably one of my favorite races is the East Series when they go to Greenville Pickens Speedway.
Yeah.
For some reason, I don't know why, it just kind of reminds me of a Phoenix in a sense, except Phoenix is banked a lot more, but you know, Greenville Pickens is another track that just wears and tears on your tires too, and you never know what's going to happen until the end of the race.
Absolutely. Now, Scott Heckert just left a message. You mentioned him earlier. He's an H. Scott Motorsports driver, and he said, whoever wins this K&N race just got a gift. My boy J.J. Haley was absolutely dominating. So Scott Heckert is certainly watching this race as well. Another great racer. He's really good on the road courses.
He is. That H. Scott Motorsports with Justin Marks is just, they just have really talented drivers. I mean, obviously they have more resources than a lot of other teams, but their drivers back it up by winning championships now. And, you know, hopefully whenever they get to the Camping World Truck Series, those drivers will do just as well.
Absolutely. I'm going to take a few minutes here to just kind of go through Rico Abreu's accomplishments because he is quite accomplished. He won the Chili Bowl Nationals last season, or as you know, at the beginning of this season. I don't know how you like to look at that, but he is the Chili Bowl National Champion. He's also, in 2014, won the USAC Midget National Championship and three World of Outlaw victories. And in the K&N East, As we mentioned earlier, he is fifth in the series point standings and third in the Rookie of the Year standings at the completion of their season. He won at Columbus Speedway earlier this year, and he backs that up with some top tens and let me see here if I can get that information. I'm looking at the wrong driver here again. He backs that up with some great top fives and top tens. This weekend, he is driving the number 31 for NTS Motorsports. Okay, he backs that up with three poles, four top fives, and eight top tens, which is pretty impressive for a rookie season campaign. So I think this is going to be, a great move for Rico Abreu moving into the Camping World Truck Series with his debut at Phoenix. And he's from the West area, so I think it's going to be a popular move as well for a lot of the fans that are out there in the West who already know about Rico Abreu and have been following his career.
Yeah, I tell you, Rico is a really talented driver. It just shows you how good he is because he, you know, this was his rookie season in the K&N East, and now he's going to jump all the way up to the Truck Series before, well, I guess the season's over now in the K&N East. So right after that, he's going to jump up to the Truck Series this weekend, and maybe he'll get a good performance this weekend and eventually maybe do some more races next year. So, I mean, that's where that World of Outlaws experience comes from. I mean, those guys are just as competitive as NASCAR, and, you know, that's why he's able to transition so well. He's just a flat-out race car driver.
Absolutely, and I want to give a real quick update here because our guest has arrived, and I'm sure he was watching this race. Todd Gilliland held off William Byron by half a car length for the win. Chris Eggleston finished 10th and claims the title as Ronnie Bassett and Gregson crashed, exiting the final turn. So it sounds like it was a wild finish to that race in the K&N West out at Phoenix International Raceway. And with that, I am excited to introduce to you our next guest, racing his debut at Phoenix this weekend, as we've been talking about, at Phoenix International Raceway. He's going to be racing in the Camping World Truck Series with NTS Motorsports. So we've had Rico Abreu on the show before, and we're really excited to have him back. Welcome back, Rico.
Hey, thanks for having me on. We're just walking
Rico,
out of the campus.
Did you get it?
That was really exciting.
I was just going to say, did you watch that race?
Yeah, that was awesome. The race for the championship and then the race for the lead, there was so much going on the last two laps. It was really exciting.
Yeah, very, very exciting. Now, you have to be really excited to be out there in the West at Phoenix International Raceway. You're from the West area out there. I don't know if you raced at Phoenix before or not, but tell us a little bit. We know your background is in dirt. We know that you've been racing the K&N West East Series this entire season. You had a great campaign in that K&N East, fifth in the point standings, third in the Rookie of the Year standings. And now you're transitioning to what NASCAR's top three with your debut in the Camping World Truck Series. Have you raced at Phoenix before at all?
No, never raced here, but I got to run about 85 laps today and picked up a lot of information. I got fed a lot of information, and just it was a really disturbing day. I'm just glad I got to run that many laps and soak up all the information.
Absolutely. I know you in your practice today, you finished 19th. I think that's pretty good for having never raced that track before and never raced in a truck before. What's the biggest difference for you between racing the K&N car and racing the truck? I know you have a limited amount of time in your truck, but what are the biggest things that stand out to you at this point?
I think the trucks feel really similar to the K&N cars. No, I haven't had much time on bigger tracks, mile tracks, so Dover is probably about the biggest track I've been on besides today at Phoenix. And, you know, just the aerial packages are a little different. And, the more laps I ran, the more comfortable I got.
Okay. And have you had a chance to talk with your teammate, Daniel Hemric, about his experience in the Truck Series this season?
Yeah, I got to get fed a lot of information today from Daniel, and the last few days spending in the shop when he's been there, I got to he's very smart about setup wise about what he's feeling, so he can we can run similar setups, and he can communicate a lot better than I can with his experience in the Truck Series. Just really someone good to shoot some answers off of and question, and then just he's there to help me as well.
Absolutely. Now, as a part of our panel tonight, we have Hunter Thomas from the fourthturn.com. He's the managing editor there, and I know he has a few questions for you as well, Rico, so I'm going to kind of pass the baton over to Hunter, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Hey, Rico, hope you're doing well. Hunter Thomas here. One question I have is, I guess you kind of have dirt in your blood. You've done so well in the World of Outlaws and in the dirt racing, but did you really ever think that you would be so competitive in the K&M Series, and then as soon as that season's over, you're already in the National Series in NASCAR?
No, I think now is the right time to move up and just keep moving through the ranks. The more experience I get with these different kinds of race cars, the better off it goes. And I feel like, I'm in a very fast truck. I just got to learn tomorrow night throughout the race. And just pit stops are going to be really tough just because it's something I've never done. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun, though.
And then just a follow-up question. I know you've talked to plenty of media this year. I think I actually saw a feature on you earlier this week on CNN. Man, what's it like going from being a racer to now you're more than just a race car driver. You have that face, and everyone's talking to you. The cameras are on. How have you dealt with that, and what kind of advice can you give to maybe a late model driver or maybe even a sprint car driver trying to make it to the big time?
I think all the media is awesome. It's something new for them, especially just with my unique stature and my ability to race these cars. It's good. I just the biggest thing is just I never let anyone tell me no or I couldn't do this. And just I kept fighting and fighting, and I made sure I was always competitive. And I didn't want to be the guy that showed up to the race not knowing I had a shot at winning it. So it just keeps my competitive nature and keeps me really busy racing every weekend between the sprint cars or the Canon cars and the midgets with Keep Coons as well.
And then I guess final question for me. You were at the World of Outlaws or the Bad Boy Buggies World of Outlaws World Finals. Can you just kind of recap your weekend at the dirt track at Charlotte?
It was a decent weekend. I never ended up qualifying well, so I always had to fight from, the third or fourth row of the heat race and try to make it to the bay. And Friday night I was actually really fast and had a shot at winning, and my nose wing fell down, so I lost all my front grip on my sprint car. And then Saturday it rained out, so we moved it to Sunday day, and I came from the C main to the B main to the A main on Sunday night, and ended up starting 23rd and ended up 10th. So it was a good night. I passed a lot of race cars. I just wish it's one of those nights where your car is good enough where you need to start up front and instead of playing catch up the whole night.
It's a lot more fun to be out front, right, Rico?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Rico, I know that in the press release that came in about your racing with NTS Motorsports at Phoenix, they mentioned that you may also be racing at Homestead, Miami for the season finale, but that was based on NASCAR's approval. Talk a little bit about what that involves, and have you heard from NASCAR if you're approved yet?
I don't think they'll approve me till after the race and just see how it goes. I think they do everything right. They just want to make sure that there's, you know, no one putting in jeopardy, anyone in jeopardy out there on the racetrack. So, you know, as long as I can get through the weekend and make sure, you know, I don't do anything too crazy, I'll move on to Homestead. But right now I'm just worried about, you know, running this whole race tomorrow night.
Okay. And talk a little bit about what your goals, what are your expectations for your series debut at Phoenix with NTS this weekend?
I think my goals are just to finish. And if we can finish, we can have a decent finish and just have good pit stops, work pit road good. Pit road is going to be really difficult just because it's something I've never done before. I kind of got the hang of just running laps, but I never really got to run around any other truck. So that'll be something new to me with the aero package and getting your truck good when you're around other trucks and then working pit road and being good at it. So just have to see how it all goes. Hopefully I can have a good consistent night and run through, make every lap count, and move on to Homestead hopefully.
Okay, and talk a little bit about your team, your pit crew, or not the pit crew, but the pit, I'm trying to say crew chief. Who's your crew chief and the people behind you?
So I'm teamed up with NTS, and this, my crew chief is Chris Rice, and they basically copied my K&N car, so with the cockpit-wise, and then I just have to thank Bob Newberry for giving me this opportunity and Harry Scott for helping everything go through. And, you know, it's just a great opportunity for me that it's hard to pass those great opportunities up.
Absolutely, absolutely. I know fans are really excited to see you progressing with your career as well as you are, Rico. And talk just a little bit about how you're preparing yourself. I'm assuming that you're looking to maybe make the transition into the Camping World Truck Series for the 2016 season. Do you ever watch iRacing or do iRacing or any of that?
A little bit. I race a little bit on the computer, and then I'm not really sure what's going to happen next year. I'm just working on getting through this weekend and on to next weekend. So I don't really like planning too far ahead.
Okay, but as far as preparing for your debut here this weekend and possibly next weekend, you do a little bit of iRacing. Are there any other things that you're doing to kind of prepare yourself there?
Not really. Just maybe watch a little video film on YouTube of some onboards at the races. So I don't really do anything out of the ordinary to get ready for a race. I race so much every weekend, every week, so it's hard to, you know, have time to prepare for another race when, you know, there's another one, you know, tomorrow, or there's another one on Sunday, so.
Okay. Now, Rico, I know one of the things you do when you're not racing is visiting schools and talking to kids about anti-bullying campaigns and that type of thing. Can you talk a little bit about that and what you're doing there?
Yeah, I've got to visit a few schools and spoke a little bit about anti-bullying and just who I am and what I do and kind of where I've came from and where I'm at today. And not, you know, a little bit of the anti-bullying stuff, just where, you know, kids are, or if they're, you know, gone over the basics of kids being bullied and what to do and what about kids that are bullies and how to help them, you know. And it's great for kids to, you know, understand that and kind of see where I come from and how I dealt with it all. And, you know, just very fortunate to be able to do that, to go speak with those kids. And, you know, I think the kids really enjoy seeing that and then seeing, you know, kind of what I do.
I would think you carry a very powerful message for kids, because I would think kids can relate to you on a very basic level. And I think it's great that you're doing that, and I want to thank you for that, because I think it's an important message to carry forward, and I applaud you for doing what you're doing there. So,
thanks.
You're very welcome. Rico, we wish you the absolute best this weekend out at Phoenix International Raceway.
Thank you.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun for you, and we're really happy that you're with NTS, and happy to hear whatever the next stage of your career is going to be when the time is right. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thanks. Take care.
Rico, before you go, let's make sure fans know your. He left. I will tell you. I forgot to have him give his Twitter handle and social media handles. He is on Facebook. You can follow Rico Abreu on Facebook, at Rico Abreu. And then NTS Motorsports is also on Facebook. On Twitter, you will see Rico Abreu. It's at Rico _Abreu. And then the NTS Motorsports is Team NTS. And then, of course, they also have websites, NTS Motorsports and Rico Abreu Racing.com. So definitely fans will want to check that out. I know today they were showing some pictures of, just the preparations and getting his truck ready and everything. So you can catch a lot of the behind-the-scenes kind of things there. So pretty interesting interview.
Yeah, absolutely. Rico Abreu's he's a talented driver, and he's been in front of the camera so much that he can knock down an interview like it's no big deal. And look for him to, I think he's going to do great come this weekend in the Truck Series race. But I'd look for him to really do well, hopefully maybe next year if he gets another opportunity, or maybe he'll get an opportunity at Homestead. But he's definitely going to be a name that's going to stick around for quite a while.
Yes, I would agree. And I think he has realistic expectations for this weekend as well, with NTS. This is all about getting the seat time behind the wheel and, making that transition between driving the, like you said earlier, there's probably not going to be a huge transition, but I know that the from racing the Can-Am East to racing the trucks. The trucks are a lot boxier, so I know the aerodynamics are a little bit different. There's a lot more pushing that they're doing with the trucks than they do with the late model cars, but I don't think it's going to be a huge transition for him.
No, I mean, the biggest difference would be the speed change. The trucks go much faster on the bigger tracks, but I'll tell you, those World of Outlaw cars go really fast too. I think they actually, I'm not 100% sure, but I think they have around 900 horsepower themselves, so they have almost as much horsepower, if not more, than a Sprint Cup Series car. So, I mean, Rico certainly knows how to drive a really fast, powerful car. So I just don't think the trucks are going to be too much of a challenge for him as far as driving. Now, it all depends on who he goes up against. Those Thor Sport trucks are really tough, and those Kyle Busch Motorsports trucks are really tough. So, obviously, they're the cream of the crop. So, he might need to be in one of those rides in order to compete for championships in that series.
Absolutely. Now, I want to go ahead and transition into our preview of the Camping World Truck Series. It's the Lucas Oil 150 at Phoenix International Raceway. That's tomorrow night. You can watch on Fox Sports 1 at 8 p.m. with a green flag around 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. They're going to race 150 miles, so that means it's 150 laps at the one-mile track of Phoenix International Raceway. And there's going to be a NASCAR Next a lot of NASCAR Next drivers at that track this weekend for the Camping World Truck Series.
Yeah, because Phoenix is just a perfect transition, especially if you were in that race tonight. You know, it's great to get those two races in one weekend. But, you know, with Phoenix just being somewhat of a short track, but not quite, you know, it's a great transition if you're going to move up.
Absolutely. And we just talked to Rico Abreu. He's one of those NASCAR Next drivers. William Byron, who just raced the Can-Am West Series, is also going to be racing in the Camping World Truck Series. Cole Custer, we've seen him there before. He's going to be back in a truck this weekend. John Hunter Nemechek, we've seen drive in the trucks before. And Dalton Sargeant, all NASCAR Next drivers that are going to be racing this weekend. Abreu and Byron are making their debuts. Sargeant is going to log his first start at Phoenix, and Sargeant has finished top 10 in two of his first three Camping World Truck Series races. Custer, of course, placed third at Phoenix in his only start there last season, and Nemechek claims one top 10 finish in two career Phoenix starts. Custer and Nemechek both have wins in the Camping World Truck Series. Custer won at Gateway, while Nemechek won at Chicagoland Speedway. So this is an impressive group that's coming in from NASCAR Next this weekend.
Yeah, it really is. You know, William Byron, he was fourth quickest today in final practice. You know, I think he'll run top five, definitely top 10. But the question is, what's he going to do when, you know, Matt Crafton or Johnny Sauter gets to his rear bumper? I mean, that's a lot of pressure and that's a lot of experience behind you. So I don't think he may win, but I do think he'll get a good finish, especially with the championship on the line. Some of these Camping World Truck Series regulars are fighting more than just a win this weekend. They're fighting more than really just a championship. I mean, some of them might even be fighting for a job for next year. So,
absolutely.
You know, I think it always gets kind of wild here towards the end of the season because of that. And I just think those four-sport racing teams are just going to be really, really tough to beat this weekend.
Absolutely. You're right that there is a lot of different kind of racing that's going to be going on. You've got three drivers that are racing for a championship between Eric Jones, Matt Crafton, and Ty Dillon. And ThorSport, as you also mentioned, such a strong organization. Cameron Haley actually led the practice today, but they also have Matt Crafton and Johnny Sauter. Johnny Sauter earlier announced that he's moving to GMS Racing for the 2016 season, but I'm sure he wants to leave, you know, racing at ThorSport. He wants to leave them on a high note. So he actually finished 11th. Matt Crafton finished 8th in the practice today. Daniel Suarez is also going to be back behind the wheel. He's just been knocking on the door of a win all season long. I'm hoping one of these last two races he'll be able to pull off a win either in the Camping World Truck Series or the Xfinity Series. And you know, all of these drivers that we said that are making their debuts, they're looking to see, you know, Rico Abreu is a perfect example. They're looking to see what they can do in a truck, and they're looking to secure their future, you know, for the 2016 season. So there's a lot of different agendas going into this race.
Yeah, I'll tell you, one guy to look out for, maybe not this weekend, but maybe next year, is Jordan Anderson. Jordan Anderson is from South Carolina. He's from the Columbia area. He was slow today, but his season has been just such a impressive run. He actually finished, I think it was 13th at Michigan International Speedway earlier this year. He's captured so many top 20 finishes, and I mean it's like him and his dad and a few others are working on his car or his truck, and he travels the country in his dually, and he shows up to the racetrack without even a pit crew. He has to use someone else's pit crew most of the time. So I mean, Jordan Anderson is a name. Hopefully he'll get a ride next year. He's a great friend of mine. I've seen him race ever since the Pro All-Star Series, Super Late Models. Look for Jordan Anderson to be hopefully a contender next year because he has certainly worked his tail off. He was 35th quickest today, but he's had a great run so far this season. And then, of course, with the points championship, Eric Jones and Matt Crafton, there are only 17 points dividing those two. I think Crafton will kind of close that gap this week, and then I think they'll head into Homestead Miami Speedway. Whoever finishes in front of who will probably win the championship.
Yeah. Yeah, this is another battle that is pretty tight. I know Matt Crafton was the first driver, Camping World Truck Series driver, to win back-to-back championships. He wants to also be the first driver to ever win back-to-back-to-back championships. He's really had an impressive run here. Even though he's not currently leading the series points, he's second, I believe, in the points. And Eric Jones has just been, I think, phenomenal this season with what he's been able to accomplish in the Camping World Truck Series, now leading the points heading into Phoenix International Raceway. So those are two great drivers to watch this weekend. We mentioned Cole Custer is also in here. We mentioned Daniel Suarez. I'm trying to catch Chad Boat is going to be racing this weekend. Austin Cindric is back behind the wheel of the 29 car this weekend. Ruben Pardo is going to be behind the wheel. He races in the Mexico series, so that's going to be interesting to see him back behind the wheel. We've seen Bobby Pierce behind the wheel a few times recently, so he's going to be back behind the wheel of the number 36 truck. Let's see. Gannis is going to be in the – she's making a Camping World Truck Series debut this weekend as well. Any other names I missed there?
I don't know. I think it's just going to be a great weekend. It's going to be a tight race between those big teams, and it's going to be interesting to see what these younger drivers will be able to do once under race conditions. It's one thing to go out there and post a fast lap and practice or even qualifying, but near race conditions when you're beating and banging and trying to save it, but you're three wide, I mean, that's a completely different game. And it'll be interesting to see how quickly they'll be able to adapt to this tough, tough competition in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series.
Yes, I think it's some of the best racing in NASCAR in the Camping World Truck Series, and it is that way because you have very, very talented drivers coming into this series, and they're able to do well very quickly. John Hunter Nemechek is a great example of that, and to have a win under his belt already is very, very impressive. And Timothy Peters at Red Horse Racing has been doing pretty well. I think the season started out a little slow for that group, but they've been coming on pretty strong here at the end. And Daniel Hemric, Rico Abreu's teammate, is also racing. Rico's going to be in the number 31 truck. Daniel Hemric is going to be in the number 14 truck this weekend. So another driver to keep an eye on, as is Matt Tift in the number 54 for Kyle Busch Motorsports. All right. Who do you want to take a chance and tell us who your race winner pick is?
Oh man, that's tough. I guess. I guess I'm going to go with Matt Crafton. And the reason why is because he's second in points, so he's playing catch-up right now. And you know, he's just such a driven driver. I think he's going to get in the zone. I think he's going to lead laps come this weekend. I think he's going to close that gap on Erik Jones. But from there on, I have no idea what's going to happen in Homestead, Miami.
Well, I think that's a good pick. I'm going to go with the younger group. I'm going to go with Cole Custer. Cole Custer has raced that track. He's familiar with Phoenix International Raceway. He's from that West Coast area, and has raced at Phoenix before in the Can-Am Pro Series, and he's done well there. He's won at that track before. So I think getting behind the wheel of a truck this weekend is not going to be a problem for Cole Custer, and I look for him to be, if not winning the race, he's going to be out there contending for that win during this race this weekend.
Yeah, it's certainly not a bad pick at all.
Okay. So anything that I missed in the Camping World Truck Series that you want to make sure that we talk about before we move on here?
No, I think we covered just about everyone.
Then let's go ahead and move on to our Xfinity Series race, also at Phoenix International Raceway. This is a great race weekend out there at Phoenix. They get to watch four great races beginning with the Can-Am Pro Series tonight. The Xfinity Series is racing the DAV 200, honoring American veterans, on Saturday at 4 p.m. We expect the green flag. The coverage on NBCSN, it will start at 3:30 p.m., and they will be racing 200 laps for 200 miles at that track. And there's another points battle here between Chris Buescher. It's almost his championship to lose at this point. We've been saying that for a few weeks. What do you think of his chances this weekend out at Phoenix?
I'll tell you, I think 24 points is, I'll tell you, that's almost too much for Chase Elliott to make up as far as the championship goes, because, I mean, he has this weekend and then he has next weekend and that's it. You know, if there was one more race or something on the schedule, maybe he could close it. But I think Chase is going to have to go out there and not just get a competitive finish. I think he's going to have to absolutely get a top three, a win. He's going to have to make up more than just a handful of points on Chris Buescher. But the thing is, I mean, that's if none of them wreck. I mean, they can have an engine expire, a tire go down or something. I mean, that can flip-flop in a race. I mean, Chris Buescher may blow a tire this weekend and then Chase's, you know, 24 points on top, but it's going to have to take something like that in order to make up, because, I mean, 24 points is almost half a race. I mean, that's a lot of positions there. So I think as far as the win goes, I have no idea. I would look for really those junior motorsports cars to be really fast this weekend.
Okay, well, we'll get to that in just a minute. But, I agree with you. I think Chris Buescher, you know, that's a lot for Chase Elliott to make up, 24 points. But you're right also in that anything can happen in this race. We saw it happen in the Can-Am West season finale, where the lead driver, the guy who led the race for the whole race from beginning to the last 10 laps, J.J. Haley, cut a tire in those last 10 laps and was out of the race. The same thing can happen here in the Xfinity Series. And some other information just to kind of have in the back of your mind here. Chris Buescher has three starts at Phoenix. His average finish there is 13.7, and he has yet to finish inside the top 10 at Phoenix International Raceway. So he's going to have to try to stretch, you know, he doesn't have to stretch himself to do better than what he typically does at that track. A lot of it's going to depend on what these other drivers do. And I'm talking about Chase Elliott, Ty Dillon, and Regan Smith, who all want to go out there and make things happen this weekend. Elliott has a top 10s and an average finish of 7.0 at Phoenix. So his average finish and stats are all better than Chris Buescher's. Dillon, on the other hand, let's see. Yeah, he really still needs Buescher to struggle in order for him. He needs Buescher to finish outside the top 12 in order for him to have a chance. Dillon's made 3 starts at Phoenix. He has 1 top 5, 3 top 10s, and an average finish of 6.7, which is really similar to Elliott's. And if Smith goes after the title, he needs to win at both Phoenix and Homestead. His stats are not as promising. He has 9 starts at Phoenix. He has 1 top 5, 5 top 10s, and an average finish of 14.4. So of those drivers, Elliott and Dillon both have better stats at the track than Chris Buescher do. So, again, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens this weekend.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, some of those guys that you just named have moved up the ranks so fast. You know, even if you go down to Ty Dillon sitting third in points, I remember when he won an ARCA race at Rockingham Speedway, and then he went straight to the trucks, and now he's in Xfinity Series. And then you had Chase Elliott, who was doing late models just, you know, not too long ago. So these two young guys are just really hardcore racers, and it's going to be fun seeing this championship play out, because those top 4 drivers are all mathematically able to win it. Realistically, I say it's only Buescher or Elliott, but anything can happen, and it's only going to take such a small slip up for Ty Dillon and Regan Smith to be really threats for that championship.
Okay, I totally agree. Now Ross Kenseth is coming back. You remember Ross Kenseth raced in the Camping World Truck Series at Chicagoland Speedway. He is coming back for this race this weekend. He'll be in the number 80 Toyota for Hattori Racing, and you know, Hattori has given quite a few drivers a chance to kind of get started in the series. Ross Chastain, Johnny Sauter, Alex Bowman have all gotten their chance to race in the Xfinity Series through Hattori Racing. So it'll be interesting to see what Ross Kenseth does this weekend as well.
Yeah, I saw Ross race a few years ago at Dillon Motor Speedway in a Pro All-Star Series super late model race. He just hasn't I don't know, he just hadn't impressed me yet. You know, he did really well in the Midwest whenever he did racing up there, but in the Southeast, he just hasn't gotten there yet as far as really, really competitive finishes. I think he's someone who's kind of – I think he's taking it really easy. I think him and Matt are easing him into the series up above each other, and I think Ross will – be a great competitor, you know, further down the road, because obviously he has the talent and he has that name behind him. But I think they're just taking their time, and you know, like this weekend, you know, he's not in a, you know, one of the big top rides. It's almost like they're saving it for races ahead.
Yeah, I would agree, because we've seen Ross also race in the ARCA Racing Series. This is the second Camping World Truck Series race that we're going to see him in, and I think they are making this transition very methodically, which is I think what you would expect from Matt Kenseth, because I think he's pretty much a methodical thinker, I kind of see the same similarities in Todd Gilliland. I know Phoenix is always, I'm saying Gilliland, I mean Ross Kenseth. I'm seeing a lot of similarities there between the son and father when it comes to those two.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Ross is a great driver. But, you know, you have these teams that come in and they go just, they put all of their money into, you know, a K&N car, or first a late model car and then a K&N, and by the time they get to the truck series, it's almost like they're just flat out broke. And, you know, I think the Kenseth family is just, you know, they're taking it easy one step at a time, and, you know, any time on the track is great track time. You know, it doesn't matter if you're in a winning car or a losing car or whatever. If you're on that racetrack, you're gaining experience and you're getting that valuable track time. So I think Ross Kenseth, I think you'll hear of him later on down the road.
Okay. I definitely agree with that. Now, I mentioned Daniel Suarez a little bit earlier. I'd like to get your thoughts about him because we also mentioned earlier that a lot of these drivers have different agendas that they're trying to accomplish at the track this weekend. And Daniel Suarez is just 8 points out of fifth place right now. And I know he would love to finish in that top five for his rookie Xfinity Series season. He's 5 points, or I mean 8 points behind Elliott Sadler. What do you think of his chances of breaking into that top five this weekend?
I think it's very high. I think you'll see him probably do it this weekend. Daniel Suarez is just such a talented driver. This season he's come so close to winning both in the Xfinity Series and the Camping World Truck Series. So Daniel is certainly the right guy for the job. It seems like that those Roush Fenway Racing cars, they just seem to have a lot of bad luck for whatever reason. But obviously Joe Gibbs Racing, they seem to have more than just luck. They seem to have maybe a technical advantage in every series that they compete in. And then I just think Daniel will do really well on the West Coast. It just seems like it would fit him really well. So look for Daniel Suarez. I think he'll get a top five finish this weekend.
Okay, I think that's a good bet. I know we've been talking about or thinking about who we want to pick as a race winner here. It's really going to be kind of tough because there's several NASCAR Sprint Cup Series drivers that are going to be in the race, including two chasers. Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski are racing the Xfinity Series race this weekend. Also, Kasey Kahne, Kyle Larson, and Austin Dillon. And then another driver that's going to be racing this Xfinity Series is from the Whelen Euro Series, Anthony Kumpen. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but it's K-U-M-P-E-N. He's going to attempt to qualify for his second Xfinity Series race, and he'll be driving the number 55 car. In August, he finished 28th at Iowa after starting 35th. So it'll be interesting to see what he does out there at Phoenix. But with so many of the Sprint Cup Series guys, it's really hard to pick a race winner because a lot of times it's the Sprint Cup guys that end up winning this race. So instead of asking who you think is, we can pick whoever we think is going to win the race from this group, but let's also pick who we think is going to be the highest finishing Xfinity Series regular. How about that?
Yeah, sounds fair, I guess. For the race win, I would pick probably Kyle Larson. He'd be my pick for the win. And then highest finishing Xfinity regular, I'm going to go with Regan Smith.
Oh, the good picks. I think those are interesting picks. Regan Smith would love to get that win, and I know he's been knocking at the door as well, and he wants to be, you know, he wants to advance his position as far as a contender in that series as well, because he's looking to secure his place for the 2016 season. I don't think we know where Regan Smith is going to end up yet, do we? For next year?
I can't recall. I can't remember. There's been so many storylines this year. But, yeah, I mean, I think Regan, he'll definitely be in a competitive ride next year without a doubt. He's a really good driver. I'm really surprised he isn't in the Sprint Cup Series because it seems like every time someone got hurt or something, you know, Regan Smith was the guy they called. And, mm-hmm. you know, he did get that win for Furniture Row Racing at Arlington Raceway a few years back. So he's certainly a proven winner. So I don't think he has anything to worry about. I think he just wants wins right now.
Okay. I think those are great race picks. I can't choose between Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski. I think one of those two guys are going to probably win it. And as far as the highest finishing Xfinity Series guys, I'm going to go with Erik Jones. How about that? I think Erik Jones may go out there and actually win this race this weekend at Phoenix. He's going to have his hands full to actually win it with all of these with all these Sprint Cup Series guys in there. But I think he will definitely be the highest finishing Camping World Truck Series guys. And if it's not Erik Jones, I think it could be Cole Custer. So I'm having a hard time choosing, Hunter.
it's tough because, you know, that's the really cool thing about the Truck Series and the Xfinity Series. You just have these young guys that really give these veterans a run for their money. Maybe not quite like it used to be. You know, you used to have, you know, Mark Martin used to dominate at the time the Busch Series, and now it seems like that there's a lot more competition because you have Kyle Busch versus Brad Keselowski, and then every now and then Kyle Larson sneaks in there and gets a win. But then you have these guys like Chase Elliott and Ty Dillon and Regan Smith who sneak in there and steal the win away.
That's true. You know, we saw Jimmy Johnson do that even in the Sprint Cup Series as a non-chaser, believe it or not, in the last race out. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the Xfinity Series race. Again, I would say it's a do-not-miss race. Racing at Phoenix International Raceway is always exciting. Anything else that you want to make sure we mention before we move on to the Sprint Cup Series?
Now, I think it'll be pretty straightforward in the Xfinity Series. It's going to come down to the Sprint Cup regulars and then the folks who are going for the points championship.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Now, the Sprint Cup Series, this is an elimination race at Phoenix International Raceway this weekend, and we know that is usually means that drama will be one of the key words used this weekend. The Quicken Loans Race for Heroes 500 will be Sunday, November the 15th. NBC will carry the coverage at 2 p.m. Eastern Time with a green flag sometime around 2:30. They are racing 312 miles for 312 laps. So, talk about intensity. I think this is where the intensity is going to be pretty big again because it is the elimination race where we cut the field in half from 8 drivers to 4 drivers, and those four are the four that can compete for the championship at Homestead, Miami. Let's talk about, first of all, do you think there's going to be any spoilers?
I think that, you know, as far as spoilers go, I think Carl Edwards would be a good spoiler. I mean, he isn't in that top four. You know, I think, I don't know. I guess he isn't a spoiler because he's still in the eight.
Yeah,
I guess he isn't considered a spoiler. But I don't know. I just don't see anyone beating those top eight drivers because, you know, they're just so good. I mean, they're good at Phoenix International Raceway, too. I mean, you have Kevin Harvick and Carl Edwards. Those two drivers would, you know, I think would be the strongest this weekend. But Jeff Gordon is also going to be strong. You know, Jimmy Johnson,
well,
I guess he'd be the spoiler. I mean, if you were going to throw one name out there.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. Harvick, of course, is I think, the race win favorite out at Phoenix International Raceway. He's trying to make it five straight wins in a row at that track. And he has an impressive record there. He has a second-best average finish at 11.0. His driver rating is 108.3, average running position 9.4. And he owns the track record with seven wins at Phoenix. I'm trying to figure out how he's going for his fifth if he has seven wins. I guess it's the straight win, five straight wins. That's what the difference is.
Yeah, I think the only other two drivers who have five straight wins at Phoenix is Richard Petty and Darrell Waltrip. I think I read that earlier.
You're right.
I could be wrong, but I think that's what it was.
Yeah, Richard Petty has seven consecutive wins at Richmond, and Darrell Waltrip has seven consecutive wins. Wins at Bristol. He also has five consecutive wins at North Wilkesboro. So Kevin Harvick would join that group if he can come up with his fifth straight win at Phoenix this weekend.
Yeah, I think it's going to it's so unpredictable. I mean, who knows what's going to happen because so
really
far
is.
So far, this chase has just been crazy. I don't even think intensity is a word you can use. I think it's just purity epic. I don't know. I think as far as the win goes, I think Carl Edwards is going to get it. He has such a good, average finish at Phoenix International Speedway. He's 13 back right now just from Jeff Gordon, about 7 back from Martin Truex Jr. But I think he's gonna, win the race, and he's gonna get in that top four.
Yeah, you know, he has two wins at that track: 7 top fives, 12 top tens, and three pole awards at Phoenix in 22 starts. So his record is pretty good there, and he would need that win in order to advance. The only driver of those eight. The eight contenders right now, the only driver who has a clinch spot in the final four is Jeff Gordon. And just about everybody needs to win in order to move on. Kyle Busch is 11 points above the cutoff line. He's second on the chase grid. Carl Edwards is 7 points below the cutoff line, and he sits in sixth. So it's pretty tight among that group. Of the drivers, let's see. It looks like they pretty much need a win in order to advance. That's about the best way to put it. Kevin Harvick right now is below the cutoff line, so he's definitely looking for a win to advance. And let's see. Let me look at this again because
I tell you, I would not want to be in front of Brad Keselowski or Kurt Busch come race day because Brad Keselowski, he's 25 points back from Jeff Gordon, the point leader, but that doesn't really matter right now. It's more about the top four. So he almost has to win because he's double digits back. And you know how Brad Keselowski races. He takes no prisoners. And same thing for Kurt Busch.
Absolutely.
Kurt Busch is even further back. So those two drivers, and the thing is those two drivers are really good at those kind of short tracks. So, they're definitely a threat for the win on race day. But I'd certainly hate to be the one in front of them.
Yes, and I did misspeak. Kevin Harvick was below the cutoff line. He's actually above in third place. The four drivers that are above the cutoff line right now, Jeff Gordon, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, and Martin Truex Jr., followed by the four under, Carl Edwards, Brad Keselowski, Kurt Busch, and Joey Logano. Now, a lot of people are saying that, you know, there's some drivers on the track that may not want Logano to advance. If he's in a position to be winning, do you think we're going to see that kind of drama again?
No, I don't. I think NASCAR showed their cards and showed them how hard the hammer's going to come down whenever you do wreck someone on purpose, that is, and it's a chase driver. But, you know, if you see Kevin Harvick get behind him, you know, he's definitely going to move him. There's nothing against moving a guy up the track. But the thing is, Joey Logano, he has to win tomorrow. I mean, not tomorrow,
yeah.
I'm sorry, this weekend.
Sunday.
To win. I mean, he's 69 points. I mean, it's just, he has to. There's no other option. So I think that's going to be really difficult to enter the race and knowing that you have to do that or else your season's over. And I'm sure he has a lot of frustration just the way that the last two weekends have gone. You know, Kevin Harvick's done it multiple times, you know, doing that Hail Mary, bottom of the ninth win. So it is possible. But it's going to be very difficult, especially I think Phoenix would be more difficult than anywhere else because so many drivers are just so good at Phoenix. It's not like it's, you know, a mile and a half track where, you know, a lot of aerodynamics comes into play or engines. I mean, Phoenix is a track that you're going to have to drive your way to the win.
Yeah, that's true. And you know what? Continuing in a chase and being at this stage of the game is a very character-building situation, and I think that's definitely the case for Joey Logano. This entire chase experience this season has been character-building for him. I think he handled it well in the beginning of the season, in the beginning of the chase, I mean. I think that there are signs that maybe fans booing. I don't know if that in particular, but there are just some indications, I think, that maybe the situation is getting into his head just a little bit. Joey Logano, and he has said it over and over again, just needs to focus on getting out there and getting that win, and we know he's capable of doing that. And it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out at Phoenix this weekend. I think I kind of predicted he'd be the surprise contender this season's chase, Martin Truex Jr. I'm really happy that he's in the top four. He's above the cutoff line, not by much, but he is above the cutoff line, 6 points above. Do you think he's going to make it to the next final four?
I'll tell you, I don't know because just the guys behind him are, you know, like I was saying, Carl Edwards is so good at Phoenix, and, you know, he's just behind Martin. I see Carl moving up, and I just don't see Kevin Harvick or Kyle Busch moving back. You know, Martin Truex Jr., they've been up there for a reason, and that's because they've been consistent all season long.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know. He's going to have to defend his spot. I don't see him moving up in the points, which he can only move up two spots anyways. But I don't see him moving up. I think he's going to have to play defense this weekend.
Yeah, I think it's got to be more of the same for Martin Truex Jr. They've got to keep their head in the game and focused on what they're doing and just race their race. And I think if they do that, they have a good chance of doing what they've been doing all season long, and that is consistently running up front. Now, he actually had a chance to race for the win last weekend when trouble knocked on his door. He ended up not finishing as well as he raced for most of that race. I think time's going to tell us the story on this one, and it's so hard to predict because, as we said earlier, anything can happen. The race leader happened to J.J. Haley again. I hate to keep using him as an example, but it happened just tonight, and that is he cut a tire in the last 10 laps of the race, and that can happen to any of these races that we're talking about here tonight, including the Sprint Cup Series race. So, and I think the one thing that has been consistent in the chase this season is expect the unexpected, because it has been just a series of those things. I don't think a lot of us would have predicted that Jimmy Johnson would be out as early as he was out, Denny Hamlin or Dale Earnhardt Jr. I think a lot of us expected Matt Kenseth in that group as well, to kind of still be in the game at this point, and they're simply not, just because of various and assorted different reasons. So it's a do-not-miss race as an elimination race in this chase.
Yeah, it's funny how all of this works. I mean, you have these teams that are so dominant at the beginning of the season that they make their way into the chase fairly easily. And then the beginning of the chase, they do well. And then Talladega comes, and it's just like, well, let's just start over with the points. I mean, it just messes everything up. And, you know, the guys that do well in Talladega go forward, and the ones that don't usually don't.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I'm not even talking about the Kevin Harvick deal. I'm just talking about Talladega in general.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a tough race
track. It's a wild card.
It is, and it just shakes it up so much. It's like that's, you know, after Talladega, then you have another set of drivers who are going to kind of dominate the chase.
Absolutely. And you know, whoever these final four are at the end of the day on Sunday, those are the only four drivers that can compete for the championship at Homestead, Miami. You know, it was interesting. I was reading an NBC article earlier today. They were previewing the conversation that was going to air on NBCSN between Nate Ryan and Kyle Petty, Jeff Burton, and Steve Letarte. I think Ray Evernham was a part of that conversation as well. And they were discussing some of the things that have been happening in this chase. You know, what is quintessential racing? And I agree with them. I think if you ask 43 different drivers what their interpretation of the rules are or what their interpretation of quintessential racing is, I think you'd probably get about 43 different answers. And you know, what's acceptable and what's not acceptable is different but for different drivers, and I think they illustrated that very, very well. So I know there's been a lot of conversation about driver code, and I know what they're talking about to a certain degree, but again, I think if you asked 43 different drivers what driver code is, they'd probably all 43 give you somewhat of a different answer. So it's just interesting what has transpired in this chase, for sure.
Yeah, talking about the driver code, I'll tell you, you know, back in the day, you know, the 90s, all I can speak for is the 90s and the early millennium, is that those are the years that I grew up watching the sport. You know, you used to have drivers that stuck around a long time, so you could kind of develop that camaraderie or that driver code. But these days, I mean, we've named who knows how many drivers in the can, and these they could easily make it to the Sprint Cup Series eventually. So I don't know if these drivers are going to stick around as long in these competitive rides. Now, obviously, these drivers that we've mentioned tonight are probably always going to be in the Sprint Cup Series, but when it comes to competitive rides, you know, I think these days it's do or die. It's win races and make money, and that's all it's about. And it doesn't matter if you have to wreck your teammate to do it or not. And, you know, that's just the way the sport is with sponsorship money and corporate and all that. So I don't really know if there's too much of a driver code these days. Obviously, you know, because you see guys like Jeff Gordon retiring. Next year will be Tony Stewart. So that opens two new spots for two new drivers or you know, another driver that wasn't in the ride to begin with. So I don't know. I just don't see too much driver code going around. It's a great idea. Sounds good. It sounds real good, but I don't know. Because a lot of these drivers, they race against each other, but a lot of them are kind of new to the game as well.
Absolutely, and they talked a little bit about that. And I'm going to post the link to the article that I read right after the show so fans can read this. But it's an interesting discussion, but I think they were pretty much in agreement with exactly what you're saying here, Hunter, with regard to driver's code. So I would definitely encourage fans to read it. I thought it was a very interesting conversation between them. And with that, I think we kind of have gone a little overtime here. I lost track of the time here. You know, definitely tune in for the Sprint Cup Series race. Be sure to tune in next Thursday night. That's probably going to be our last NASCAR preview show for the season. Next Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time for NASCAR, Banfor Racing with Ketchman's NASCAR Weekend Preview. We didn't get to talk with Chris tonight, but hopefully we'll be able to talk with him next week. Now, Hunter, before you go, I want to make sure fans know how they can follow you.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at HunterThomas08, and then my website is THEFOURTHTURN.com. That's TheFourthTurn.com. That's the best way to follow what I'm doing.
Okay, and then are you working on any particular pieces that fans can look for here in the next day or so?
No, I'm just trying to get through the season right now. you know, I haven't been able to keep up with it as much as I'd like. I was at the dirt track at Charlotte this past weekend, so I didn't get to see the races at Texas. And then next weekend, during championship weekend, I'm going to be at Myrtle Beach Speedway covering the NASCAR Whalen All-American Series. So I may miss maybe the first little bit of those races, but I'm definitely going to see the finish. So right now I think Kyle is going to kind of, you know, spearhead his our effort as far as the Cup Series goes for the rest of the season. And I'll pick up what he can't complete or doesn't have time to. So that's our plan for the rest of the season. We're just getting ready for next season now.
Oh, okay. Well, again, Hunter, I really appreciate you being here tonight. I thought we had some great conversation here, and I can't wait for these races this weekend. And you're going to let me know early next week if you're able to help us out at next week's show, right?
Yeah, I'll let you know first of next week.
So stay tuned for who panel member is going to be for next week's show. We will keep you posted. Again, enjoy safe travels to you this week, and we'll look forward to hopefully I'll get a chance to chat with you again somewhere down the road here.
Absolutely. I enjoyed it tonight. Great show.
Well, thank you very much, and we enjoyed having you as well. So with that, we're going to call it a wrap, and we'll look forward to seeing everybody on the other side on our Monday night show at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time for Banfor Racing, Fan to Fan, NASCAR and Race Talk. Take care, guys, and have a great weekend.